a man's heart is full of deceit, it burns up, dies, and a dark shadow falls over his soul. From the ashes of a once great man has risen a curse, a wrong that must be righted. He looked to the skies for an indicator, someone to strike fear in the black hearts of the same man who created him. The battle between good and evil has begun. Against an army of shadows comes a dark warrior, the purveyor of good, with a voice of silence and a mission of justice. This is Sting.
NitroCast, episode 52. Episode 52. How's everybody doing? I'm your host, Paul. Yes, we are back for yet another fun-filled trip back in time to 1997. 97, is that where I'm at? Yeah. Sorry, guys, I'm a little rusty. It's been a little while since I've done this show. But I'm back, and I brought two Nitros and a Clash of the Champions with me. So, yeah, episode 52. So technically, this is like the 2-year mark here for Nitro. So, yeah, happy birthday Nitro, I guess. Now that I'm sure that some of you were expecting the second annual Dusty Awards this week. I apologize. I totally forgot about them until I just started doing the show. So that'll happen eventually. But before we get started, why to stump this Twitter. Go follow me there. Also, I have a myriad of other things going on as well. Wrestling Buddies, that's mine and Mike's podcast, where we take a trip back in time. We watch and then we talk about the worst in pro wrestling. Now, we watch it so you don't have to. So, go check that out as well. And then, if you need some current wrestling product in your life, go listen to Lowdown. That's another show that I'm a part of. It's a wrestling roundtable, international wrestling roundtable. There's usually 5 or 6 of us. We talk about the current wrestling product. So go listen to Lowdown. And then we also have a spinoff show from that called Showdown, where each episode we take one topic, and then we just talk about it for an hour, usually one controversial topic. The first episode was the Jeff Hardy Victory Road incident. So that was the first episode of that. So go check that out. It's all under the Lowdown banner there on iTunes. So go listen to that. Go subscribe. Give us a 5-star review and all of that. So look at that. Yes, we are just all over the place. Okay. No current wrestling talk. Because if you want that, just go listen to Lowdown. So all right, let's get started here, folks. August 11, 1997, from Denver, Colorado. And the Giant, he is here, and he is greeted immediately by police and security. He served with what I'm guessing is a restraining order. But on the positive, he has a new shirt, which like just has his face on it. So, hey, if you want to go around and wear the Giant's face on you, more power to you. Buffer made the trip to Colorado, and the Nitro girls, they do their thing amongst a ton of fog. So look at that. If you have enough fog, you can't see that Kimberly still can't dance. NWO was strong as ever after Road Wild. Speaking of which, the Outsiders and Six, they come out, and some poor child has NWO shaved into his head. And it's not like he just has the initials NWO shaved into his head, because that'd be fine. No, he has all the hair gone except for patches of hair that say NWO. Oh, boy. I would like to know where that person is right now. Where is that kid right now? Hopefully, he is listening to this show, and then he can get a hold of me. If you are listening to me, whoever you are, you poor child from Denver, Colorado, that had NWO as your hair, get a hold of me. And just let me know what you're up to now. I would really like to know. Hull says that they believe in giving the people what they want, and everyone is watching because of the NWO, which gets a huge face pop. So, I mean, they're not even trying to be heels at this point when they're on the mic. We get some tag title talk. They talk about the Einsteiners, and speaking of which, the Einsteiners music hits. But then two jobbers come out. So it's a tag team title match. Outsiders taking on these two jobbers. We don't even, like, get their names or anything. Tony says that it was obvious that it wasn't Sting last night that hit Luger with the bat. So at least they're getting a little smarter with that. It's a squash. Jackknife. That gets the three. Outsiders win. Hall and Nash, they want another match. They're still ready to fight. Which brings out the Steiners. They come out through the crowd. They clear the ring. Get a belt shot to Nash. And Nitro was off and running. So I gotta say, this is a pretty hot start. Macho Kurt Hennig later. So that's pretty nice. And no word yet on what's up with the Giant. So, turn the page. Ming and Wrath, that's your next match. They start brawling on the floor. Get a nice sidekick by Ming. More brawling. Get a somersault body block off the apron by Wrath. I gotta say, for a dude that was, you know, around 6'10", you know, a big dude. I mean, he was really agile. Then he goes up top, but Ming crouches him, and we get a superplex. That gets a near fall. We get a clubbering by Ming. Match. Tonga Death Grip out of nowhere. Ming gets the win. So, yeah, look at that. Mortis and Barbarian, they come out, all four guys brawl. And you know what? I'll watch that match. You know, Ming and Barbarian taking on Mortis and Wrath. I'll watch that. Shit. Be a nice hard-hitting contest. I'll totally watch that. Gene with the Einsteiners and DiBiase. It doesn't matter that they lost to Rick. He doesn't care that they lost at Road Wild. Rick, you're a fucking idiot. That's all I gotta say about that. You're an idiot. It doesn't matter that you lost. You're so stupid. Ted says that they're there to take care of business, and the Outsiders are cheaters. Ooh. Then Ted decides to call it Nick Patrick. So then Nick states his case. Says he let the match go on until they put their hands on him. So, you know what? That makes sense. Then Patrick throws Pee Wee Anderson under the bus for not DQing Hogan. Patrick, just shut the fuck up. This is not good. Because now it almost feels like, you know, he's going to go back to the NWO. So, yeah, just don't do this. Eddie Guerrero taking on Chris Jericho. Eddie Guerrero taking on Chris Jericho. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We get some quick drop kicks and a military press by Jericho. Spin wheel kick sends Eddie to the floor. We get nice begging off and then an eye poke. My God, Eddie Guerrero was just the best. It just seems like every match, he's just adding a new wrinkle, something new. And right there with the begging off and the eye poke, you know, it that becomes one of his signatures, and it's just so awesome. Jericho eats knees trying to do a lion salt. Then he hits a snap power slam and a release German suplex for two. Get a Liger driver, then a big swing. So, I mean, a whole lot of Jericho offense here. We get some great comedic selling by Eddie, you know, being all dizzy and such. Match. We get a frog splash after a crouching three quarters of the way across the ring. Eddie Guerrero wins. Super fun match. Yeah, Eddie's really coming to his own. Jericho, I would say in the past 6 months or so, he's really coming to his own. You know, especially with both of these guys. You know, when Eddie took that time off, and then he came back as a heel, that just reinvigorated him. You know, it's just one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. That he went from such a vanilla babyface to just this fantastic over-the-top heel character. I mean, everything about him is so much better. And Chris Jericho, he did an overseas tour, and he came back like a new man. So yeah, it's wonderful to see these two guys just grow up before my very eyes. It's fantastic. Nitro Girls and Alex Wright, he comes dancing through him again. I love that. He talks to Gene. He speaks German to Big Booze. Get some cheap heat. They're actually giving Alex Wright some mic time. So yeah, who knows? Maybe some big things for him. Dean Malenko taking on Jeff Jarrett with Deborah. Dean is pissed. Okay, that's it. That's the long and short of it. Dean Malenko is a pissed off man right now. we get some right hands by Dean to Jarrett. We get some Jarrett sucks chance. We get big leg lariats and a double J tries to run, but Mongo chases him back to the ring, so you got nowhere to hide, Jarrett. Jarrett tries to hide behind Deborah, which he does, and then he gets control. Get a drop kick, belly to belly, then a strut because he's a fucking idiot. We get some leg work. We get some Fall Brawl tees. Get a little bit of talk about that, which you already know what that's going to be. It's going to be NWO versus WCW, which is what it should be. Butterfly Bomb, Cloverleaf by Malenko, but Eddie comes running in. He interrupts. Then he gets a double team. Malenko wins by DQ. Mongo, he comes in. He saves the day. He clotheslines the fuck out of Jarrett. They clear the ring. Then Malenko, instead of, you know, going, hey, you know, buddy, thanks for saving my ass. No, then he kicks the shit out of Mongo now. So, but Mongo kind of likes it. You know, he's kind of fired up by this. You know, he's like, okay, I like that. So, this is pretty cool. Maybe, you know, setting the seeds for Dean to join the Horsemen. Who knows? Try not to look into my crystal ball and know what happens, but, you know, it's just a nice seed planting right there. Mean Gene with his fellow horseman, Ric Flair, and potential horseman, Curt Hennig. Rick saw Curt talking to Bischoff in the back. Huh. Well, Hennig doesn't deny it. He says, yeah, you know, we were talking. Rick puts Hennig's past over, and he wants an answer. Hennig has a main event match tonight, and he dodges the question. Rick wants to know if, okay, that's fine. You know, you don't have to, I don't need an answer tonight, fine, whatever. But I want you to be my partner at the Clash. Hennig agrees, but you know, that's as far as it goes. Flair is super pushy. Hennig has just been dodgy as could be, and it's pretty fantastic to see him work here. Because, you know, he never gives a straight answer. You know, he's just right there, playing both sides of the fence. So, yeah, you know, it's pretty good stuff. Speaking of Eric Bischoff, because I did, you know, maybe a minute ago. He comes out on a motorcycle with Scott Norton. Because, you know, he rode his motorcycle to Sturgis. And I'm sure he probably rode it to Denver. I don't know. It's supposed to be Norton versus Giant. Hall, Six, and Buff, they come out. And Hall looks loaded at this point. So, you know, he must have been tipping a couple back there after his match. Congrats to Hollywood first. Hogan is in Montreal making a movie. And they sing him happy birthday. So, that's fantastic. And then Eric lets us know that it was a restraining order that they filed against the Giant. We get the Frankenstein walk by Scott Hall, which is, I fucking love that. Buff measures out 50 feet. As Bischoff calls the Giant out. Buff sprays a line and marks it. 50 feet. Zbyszko and J.J. Dillon, they try to talk the Giant down as he comes out because he's a big bumbling idiot. And then, you know, then the Giant, he gets to that 50-foot line. And what does he do? He crosses it. He takes, like, one step over. Denver's fine as they come flying out. They take him away. And then Hall, you know, he comes sneaking up, you know, does some tiptoe walk or whatever. And he wants some of Larry. So, you know, those two are eventually going to get into it. But the Giant, he's such an idiot. And they do not, and they portray him as probably the biggest idiot I've ever seen. Now then, if you know that there's a restraining order. You can't go within 50 feet of someone. Now then, if you're gonna violate that, you're going to do it, and then you're going to get something out of it, correct? You know, like if I know I can't go within 50 feet of you, and you just call me out and I just have to do it. I have to do it. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to beat the living shit out of you. That's what I'm going to do. If I'm going to get arrested, it's going to be for a reason. You know, if I'm going to violate this order of protection, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Right? Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that what the Giant should have done? Instead of going, okay, this is 50 feet. Oops, I'm within 49 feet of you. I'm a big idiot. Take me to jail. Christ. And just the mismanagement of the Giant is already begun. So, telling you, there's not a more mismanaged wrestler probably in the history of wrestling than him. Okay, hour two time. Wow, that first time went by quick. Nitro Girls, they do something. Harlem Heat with Jackie. They're in the back doing a Q&A for the .com. J.J. Dillon will make another offer to Sting, too. So, we'll see what happens there. Mongo and Benoit versus the Steiners and DiBiase. So, Steiners with DiBiase. Horseman or heel, I guess, this week. Scotty with some clubbering. And then a Belly to Belly on Mongo that gets a 1-2-0. Military Press, from STF to Benoit by Scott. Benoit with snap suplex. Tags are made. Brung until Mongo goes up top. Don't ask me why, because, you know, how many times have you ever seen Mongo go up top? This is maybe a handful. This may even be the first time. He comes off. Rick catches him. Overhead belly to belly. Drops him right on his fucking head. Makes the cover. Steiner's win. Mongo's out. You know, they played it off like he could have been hurt. And just the way that the finish kind of came out of nowhere, you know, almost made you think that, you know, he'd be fine, as, you know, we'll see later. But, yeah, he landed pretty high. You know, and that's not something that Mongo's used to. And Benoit, you know, you can see from when they do the replay, you know, and Rick makes the cover. Benoit, he comes in to, you know, attempt to make the save and doesn't. So, yeah, it was just kind of like a fall that came out of nowhere. So, very quick match. I would like to see a little bit more time there. Gene is in ring with Lex Luger wearing a cutoff denim shirt, which was pretty big back in 97. If you didn't have a cutoff denim shirt, you weren't shit. Last week was the best moment in his career. And Sturgis? Not so much. But in the celebration last week, he realized something. WCW has come together, and it's a building point. Which, you know, what a good job by Luger of bringing it back to WCW versus NWO, which is just the bigger overall story here. So, really good job by him. Lex talked to referee Randy Anderson, and they're cool. So, look at that. He's already cool, Pee-wee. Because, you know what? He wouldn't have won the belt last Monday if Pee-wee would have called it early. So, you know, it was kind of even, I guess. You know, he was giving him a shot at Sturgis, you know, even though there was a shit ton of interference. You know, pretty good job on WCW's part for trying to cover it up. But then Lexi gets angry, calls out Hogan, and that's it. It's a really good setup for War Games. So, good promo by Luger. I mean, this was, for someone who's a consistent one or two in the promo department, you know, one or two out of ten, you know, this was a really good promo for him. You know, he's just so awkward, though, on the mic, but the content was good. I liked where he was going with it. Yeah, really good promo by Luger. I mean, this is why he is, you know, the number one face in the company at this point. So, yeah, pretty good stuff here. Buff with Vincent taking on DDP. A good diamond cutter tease early. Buff takes powder back in, lands a huge drop kick. Power bomb by Buff. Oh yeah, that's right. He did. Power bomb counter by Buff. Then a swinging neck breaker that gets 1-2-0. I can't read my writing. Buff argues with the ref, which Buff loses as always. That's one of my favorite things. Page recovers, comes back with punches and a cutter after failed Vincent interference. DDP wins, and his ribs aren't taped anymore. Another quick match. I mean, their TV matches are, you know, so quick at this point. I mean, they're just really pounding them out. So, road report from Birmingham, Alabama. No weasel joke. Is Steiger Lee okay? There's no weasel joke. Oh, well. TV title match is next. Mortis taking on TV champion Ultimo Dragon. Kicks by a dragon to start. Mortis with some brief offense. Superplex gets countered to a face first. Suplex. Northern Lights, that gets a near fall for Mortis. Then a Famouser, that gets another near fall. Sets up for the flatliner, but Dragon reverses it into a powerbomb, followed by Dragon Sleeper. Ultimo Dragon wins. Decent short TV match. You know what? Yeah, give these guys a few more minutes. Instead of just giving these guys 4 minutes, you know, you cut out one of these other matches. Give them seven. Give those guys 7 minutes, and you know what? That's a hell of a good fucking match. But you know what? That's not what they were looking for at this point. I understand. But, you know, that's, you know, just what I would like to see. Gene with J.J. Dillon. And Sting is in the rafters. I don't know if we were supposed to see him yet or not, but we did. J.J. has a new offer. And that brings out Sting. You know, he rappels into the crowd. And the offer is a match with six. So Stinger takes that contract. He rips that one up too. Gene asks Sting, what do you want? And the fans chant Hogan. Sting, he points to the crowd. And this crowd is absolutely insane. And the announcers, the stooge announcers, forever stooge announcers, especially Tony Schiavone, they're even on board. They're even going, oh, yeah, well, apparently he wants Hogan. Look at that. But the only two fucking people that don't get it are JJ and Gene. So, but, yeah, this crowd was absolutely insane. You know, hard camera was just shaking. Everyone's on their feet. It's just insanity. It's something that you don't get a whole lot of nowadays. So, you know, and to me, that's just one of the biggest differences watching, you know, the current product and then, obviously, being back in 97 watching this, is just the crowd reactions. I mean, you know, nowadays, like when... like, if people aren't interested in a match, you know, they're just going to sit on their hands. If they don't like you, they're going to sit on their hands. Back then, they're going to boo you. You know, that's it. They're going to cheer for the other guy, you know, whether they like him or not. You know, if you're an effective heel, they're going to cheer the other guy. You know, nowadays, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, there's, you know, very few people that get crowd reactions anymore, and nothing that can compare to things like that, unless, you know, you're a returning legend, you know, that type of thing. But, yeah, the consistent crowd reactions were pretty nuts. And you know what? I'm pretty sure I say that every show, but you know what? These crowds are really that goddamn good. They really are that good. So, yeah, it's worth it just to, you know, not to, you know, you don't have to watch the whole show, but, you know, just a match here or there and just see how insane the crowd is, especially anytime Sting is mentioned. Macho Man with Liz taking on Kurt Hennig. There's some large lady says hi to someone. Heenan says, yikes. So, I'm with you. I'm with you, Brain. Clothesline by Macho turns Hennig inside out. They brawl on the floor. Macho hides behind Liz, but Hennig charges, clotheslines him anyway. Commercial, we come back. They're still on the floor. Finally get in the ring. We get a neck snap. $1 million knee lift. Then Macho, he goes to the leg. And Hennig kills himself bumping. If you've ever seen, you know, a Mr. Perfect match, you know what I'm talking about, where, you know, he'll hold the rope, and then his opponent will come over and, you know, kick him in the leg, and then he'll just kind of flip over, land high and tight. You know, he's attempting to break his own neck here. I mean, you know, if any of you guys aren't familiar with Kurt Hennig's work, go check it out. And then you'll go, oh, wow. Now I can see, you know, what who Dolph Ziggler has ripped off almost completely. So, just not as well. Savage attacks Paige from behind. Shit, I got ahead of myself. Ah, I just fucked it all up. DDP comes in. He attacks Hennig. Savage attacks Paige from behind. Scott Hall comes out, fall away slam. We get a couple Macho Man elbow drops. Luger's out, they bail. Oh, I fucked it all up. We go back to the announced position. WCW is finally working together. You know, you got Paige beating up on Hennig. You know, you got Luger out, he's making a big save. But you know what though? Paige brought that ass whooping onto himself. I mean, you know, they double teamed for a few minutes. He got a couple elbow drops. I mean, he brought that shit on himself, dude. Order the replay of you know, Road Wild. That's it. That's your follow up show to the pay per view. And you know what? It was an okay show. I mean, it had good pace. It moved pretty quickly. Wow, Hogan really got out of town quick though. I'll say that much. I mean, you know, not even like a promo or anything. I mean, he couldn't stick around for, you know, two more days. Yeah, because Road Wild's done on a Saturday. So yeah, I mean, you know, he must have been real busy with that flick, you know, with that big Hollywood movie he was making. But, you know, that's why, like nowadays, not having a world champion doesn't bother me. You know, not having a champion on TV doesn't bother me. Not as long as you have other storylines that make up for it and make you, you know, almost kind of forget about it. So, next Nitro, here we go. It's 1 week later, August 18th, 1997, from Birmingham, Alabama. And we start off with a Raven pre-tape promo. He talks about being an outcast and being traumatized. He has daddy issues as well. Raven is legit one of the five best promos of all time. You know, that's... Not saying, you know, yeah, everything's the best ever. No, he is legit that good on the mic. If any of you guys aren't familiar with Raven's work, or if you're just familiar with like his WWE work, yeah, go back, check out his ECW stuff, watch his WCW stuff, because right here is, you know, he's really in the prime here. You know, he's in the pocket. He's just, everything is just firing on all cylinders for him. Raw is plain old crap sign. I agree. Nitro Girl's open, and there's more fog. So look at that. They've figured it out. They've got the formula down. Have the Nitro Girls out there, fine. Just pump up the fog. So pretty smart. Harlem Heat with Jacqueline taking on Vicious and Delicious with Vincent. Bus posing is hilarious, because he really is. He is so fantastic. Then accuses Stevie of tight pulling after a hip toss. Get a World Strongest Slam. That shuts up Buff Mom momentarily. Norton and Booker in. Get a spin kick. That stops Norton's momentum. Heel tactics. Put the NWO back in control. Book gets the hot tag. Takes out both guys. AA to Buff. Yeah, there was, you know, there was an attitude adjustment in the match to Buff. Vincent interferes, draws the DQ. Harlem Heat win. Booker with sidekicks to the delight of the fans. Really hot open, should have been longer. But yeah, good match. Nice quick tag TV match. Yeah, I really like Scott Norton's ring work. Because he is such a big guy and he moves so fast. I can't think of anyone to really compare him to. Maybe Bray Wyatt, but stronger, I guess. But I don't know. I mean, you know, he really is almost like a rare talent, because this dude, the Juggernaut. That's basically who he is from the X-Men. He's basically the fucking Juggernaut. You know, he's just a big, legit strong dude who just flies around and just, you know, when he has the momentum and he's doing shoulder blocks and stuff, it looks like it's really killing people. So, yeah. Yeah, Scott Norton, look at that. Underrated worker. Next match, Barbarian versus Mortis. Lex and DDP taking on Hall and Nash. That's going to be the main event. Wow! Now that is a pay-per-view quality main event right there. Barbarian, he eats the post early, followed by calf branding for two. Crossbody, that gets another two. Face buster by Barbarian, that gets a near fall of his own. We get a corner clubber in. Power slam, that gets another near fall. Big boot, and it's academic. Barbarian wins. Wrath in, hits a Uranagi. Ming in, Tongan death grip. He won't let it go. Even after Mortis tries to break it up, he ain't letting that shit go. Have you never seen Ming before? Yeah, there was a quick, hard-hitting match. Now that we've had the singles matches, you know, involving there. Now then, the likely progression is tag team match. Let's get to it. I want to see that match. Bischoff out. And you know what? His beard coming pretty nicely. Not as nice as mine, but coming pretty nicely. At the Clash, his champions will be there. Eric has a restraining order for Larry Zbysko as well, because of what he did, you know, when he brought him into the ring to get chokeslammed. And you know what, Bischoff, he still wants his own show for the NWO. And just, you know, lots of stuff packed in there. You know, no, we don't want an NWO show, trust me. It's not what you want. Not what you want. But you know what, though? Good promo. He packed everything into it. Made it quick. I was okay with it. Gene with Henning and Flair. Like it or don't, learn to love it, because Henning is the best thing going today. Woo! Henning still isn't committing to a side, but he gets to the Giant tonight. So Flair has six. And Rick is still being a pushy bastard here. Henning says he's just too good to be true. You know, and that's kind of like his new catchphrase, you know, because he can't say that he's absolutely perfect. So, you know, he's too good to be true. Yeah, and he tries to force that in. So, they can drop that anytime, though. It doesn't work for me. Next match, Stevie Richards, dancing Stevie Richards, taking on Scotty Riggs. It's a match. Scotty controlled most of it. Stevie Bomb gets a 1-2-0 more match. Riggs is a black hole of charisma and ability. Stevie kick connects for three. Stevie Richards wins. Raven in. Even flow. Drops Richards and he's gone. Huge reaction for Raven. I mean, this place came unglued when they saw him. And he just fucking drops Stevie with that DDT. Fantastic. I love watching Raven. So, yeah, he's easily in my top 10 of all time. Just my personal top 10. Gene with Jarrett, Ugly, and Eddie. Alex Wright out, and he wants to join the team. Ugly won't give him the time of day because he doesn't have a belt after losing it to Jericho. On WCW Saturday night. Chris Jericho, he defeated Alex Wright for the Cruiserweight title. So, look at that. They're just hot-shotting that belt around. NWO paid announcement, and they sang happy birthday to themselves. And, they're supposed to be having a birthday celebration at the Clash of the Champions. Jarrett and Eddie taking on Benoit and Mongo. Mongo gets a U.S. title match at the Clash. Benoit starts fast on Eddie. We get a snap suplex, and he is so over. I mean, it really is unbelievable to see. You know, a guy that doesn't have a great look, can't cut a promo, barely talks, but is just so over just because of what he does in that ring. It's unbelievable. Hard to compare it to anybody. Maybe Daniel Bryan, I guess, but, you know, at least he had one word. You know, he at least had the yes chant, and he was, you know, and he had a good reputation and all that. No, I can't. I don't know. I mean, you know, he's basically a mute, and, you know, and the crowd just goes insane every time that he enters into a match. Anytime he doesn't move, it really is nuts. Benoit was super over. Eddie crawls to his corner and hugs Jarrett's knees. Oh, my God, he's so good. Mongo in. He wants Jarrett. Eddie goes low as Jarrett distracts Mongo. Jarrett targets the leg. Tags are eventually made. Benoit cleans house. Snap suplex. That gets another two. Crossface on, but Eddie breaks it up. Mongo with a belt shot to Jarrett. Benoit makes the cover. Benoit and Mongo, they win. The crowd was so nuts for this match. It was great. Because, you just have, anytime now that you're going to put Mongo and Jarrett together, the crowd's going to go nuts. You know, they have a reason to. And they delivered here. It was awesome. Hour two already. I'm telling you, these shows really do fly by. Not like nowadays stuff. We get a replay of the J.J. Dillon Sting stuff. Outsiders are here. Another face promo by Hall. Nash says it's NWO country. They call out Luger and Page. They call them Jay Browns. It really is just filler. They didn't say anything. They really didn't. They just came out there, you know. Said a few things. It didn't further anything. It was straight filler. Nitro Girls and Kim is still awful. And Tanae explains what a jobber is. So, good job, Mike Tanae. You know, and hearing Tanae in that little voice of his, you know, being the professor and explaining to you what a jabroni is, it's pretty funny stuff. Sixth day, get on Ric Flair. This is a return match from Road Wild. We get a hip toss and chops early by Flair. More chops until Six hits an Enziguri. Bronco Buster, leg drop, then some mounted punches for two, get a Flair corner spot, but he goes to the floor, so I think he might have slipped. Back in, Six with a corner bulldog, and then he misses a second Bronco Buster, so, corner beatdown, not corner bulldog, sorry. Figure four tees, but NWO comes out, Henning runs him off, Flair wins by DQ. Good match, a little short, kept Six strong. So, I mean, Dave, I know I pretty much say, like, after every six match or whatever, but, yeah, I didn't remember that he was, you know, this big of a focal point in the NWO. I mean, he really was, you know, one of the key members of that group. So, yeah, I really totally forgot about him. J.J. Dillon with Nick Patrick and Gene. Patrick made the right decision in the ring. The executive committee, in the executive committee's eyes. But then he throws Pee Wee Anderson under the bus again. Randy Anderson out confronts him. Dillon tells him to hug it out, bitches. And That was that. That was stupid. Again, you know, it's, you know, more filler, but I mean, at least they're trying to give, you know, guys stuff to do. TV title match. La Parca with Sonny Ono taking on the champion Ultimo Dragon. Wright gets a TV title shot at the Clash, so we'll see where that goes. We get nice flippy stuff and counters. The kick combo and then crossbody to the floor. Ono with some kicks of Dragon. La Parca tosses him into the steps. Back in. Powerbomb. That gets a near fall. Tree of Woe heel kick. That gets another two. Tilt-A-Whirl backbreaker by Dragon. We get a Super Karana. Dragon Sleeper. Ono with a distraction. Then kicks La Parca by accident. Dragon Sleeper. Back on. Ultimo Dragon wins. Good stuff. I mean, you know. Good, unoffensive stuff. I mean, you can parade any of these guys out there for a nice, good 3-4 minute match, and it works. Kurt Hennig taking on the Giant. Hennig with a slap, and then a shot to the throat, and some chops. Giant with headbutts and a hair toss. It's all Giant. And Hennig just makes him look great. Like you know he will. Crowd is nuts. Bischoff comes out, and he wants him arrested again. Dillinger says that Eric is, you know, violating the order. So Zabisco comes out as well. Eric tries to escape through the crowd. Giant hauls him back, but he gets held back by security. That Hennig wins by countout, I guess. This is what I don't get. Again, I know I'm trying to explain wrestling logic here, but if you have a restraining order against somebody, you just can't go walking up to them either. That's not how it works. You know, especially when this person has a job to do and, like, you're supposed to be, like, kind of their boss, but wait, no, he still doesn't have any power. Whatever. But, you know, the Giant is in the ring. He's doing his job. You know, and then Eric comes walking out. Oh, yeah, he's violating the order of protection, you know, because he's doing his job and I'm walking towards the ring. Stupid. I'm sure it'll pay off, though, here eventually when either Zabisco or Giant gets their hands on him. So, you know, it's all part of the climb to, you know, get to the payoff. Can't wait. Road Report from Columbia, South Carolina. Again, no weasel joke. So I'm wondering if Stagger Lee's feeling all right. Gene with J.J. Dillon again. If he gets it wrong, again, I quit. he wants Sting to tell him what he wants. He's giving him till the Clash to tell him what he wants. And Sting is here. He comes to the crowd. He grabs JJ by the tie and points to a couple of Hogan signs. Gene is an idiot. So is JJ. Yeah, I can't watch this. Sting even goes so far as to grab a Sting versus Hulk sign and shows him. So. All right, Sting. You have to look Clash. Tell me what you want. Oh, what's this fucking sign you're putting in my face? I don't get it. You got to look Clash. Main event time. Tag team title match. DDP and Luger taking on champions, the Outsiders. Tony even calls Gene and JJ dummies, so you know it's bad now. He tries to defend it as JJ wants to hear it from Sting. So, okay, you know what? Whoever fed Tony that line, good job. I will say that. And if, Tony, you came up with that one yourself, kudos to you. You know, that, you know, yeah, I know what you want, but I want to hear you say it. So what? The motherfucker doesn't want to talk. You can't make him talk. Dummy. And it's run over. So, yes, we're going over. And, yeah, they're already starting with this. So, yep. Get toothpick toss and Lex with a slap. Crowd is buzzing. You know, you can, you know, it's so hard to explain, but you just know when you hear it. You know, you have a match and the crowd is just buzzing. You know, they're loud. You know, it's just a feeling, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, they're into this. It's good. Lex gets isolated in the NWO corner, fights his way out. Nash and Paige are in. Nash with a knee, targets the back, but Paige fires back with some punches and a neck breaker. Russian leg sweep. That gets a 1-2-0. Nash with a big boot, makes a tag to Hall. Hall in, get a follow-away slam. That gets another near fall match. Long control portion, and the usual corner work there by Nash. And, oh boy, an abdominal stretch and a sleeper by Hall. Oh boy. For as good as he can be, I mean, he can just bring a match to a screeching halt, you know, with his rest holds. Hot tag finally made. NWO hits the ring. Lex and DDP win by DQ. But you know what? I mean, it was a they went over 15 minutes. But, you know, for what? You know, just for a DQ. And, I mean, you know, I understand that they're heels. But, you know, eventually, you know, every now and then, you know, heels probably should just get, like, a regular, you know, clean win. I don't know, against a credible opponent, but I understand the point. But still, you know, it's, I don't know. You always feel cheated, you know. Flair and the Giant, they come in, and it's a fucking war as we go off there. It's NWO, it's WCW. They're just beating the living shit out of each other. What a good way to go off there. I mean, because these two sides are just crushing each other. So, yeah, for as disappointed as you feel after, you know, Lex and DDP, you know, another DQ finish there by the Outsiders. But you know what? You bring out the Giant, you bring out Flair. They're going to town. They're taking out the NWO. Good stuff. Which, again, you know, is just setting the stage for Fall Brawl. So, good stuff. All right, here we go. Clash of Champions. This is the last Clash of the Champions also. So, yeah, how sad is that, man? I mean, because for me, the Clash was always, you know, one of the cooler things that I looked forward to. Because it was, you know, it's wrestling during the week. Because it was usually on, like, a Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. This one was on Thursday. And you know, I was, I followed, but, you know, I wasn't someone that, you know, really knew everything that was going on. So, you know, every now and then, you know, flipping through the channels. Oh, my God, WCW's on. How awesome is this? And that was, you know, more of my memories of it was that, oh my God, you know, this is great. This is like a pay-per-view. This is a free pay-per-view. And yeah, you know, I used to, I enjoyed them. I mean, I was always a WCW guy, obviously. So yeah, for this to be the last one, you know, it's kind of sad, but you know, everything about this show is sad. Every podcast is sad because, you know, it's me remembering a dead company, you know, and being more entertained by that than I by current stuff. So, oh, well, all right, let's get going. Nashville, Tennessee, that is the site of the Clash. Tony, Dusty, and Bobby the Brain. War broke out on Monday, and it could continue tonight. Will we hear from the Stinger? I mean, JJ gave him an ultimatum. Ultimatum, if you will. Let's stop talking about it, and let's get down to it. Let's get down to it, baby. That's pretty good, Dusty. U.S. title match. Jeff Jarrett, champion, with Deborah. A.K.A. Ugly, taking on Mongo. Mongo sees his wife in the ring with another man. And that just brings a whole new twist of fate to the situation, if you will. It's NWO's birthday. So, yeah, so they talk about that a lot. And Dusty compares the U.S. title to a Super Bowl ring. And he says, you know, hey, and he's already won one of those before. But his wife wasn't on the bench. She wasn't on the sideline. She wasn't over there with Troy Aikman, if you will. Oh, man, I'm feeling Dusty today. that was pretty good, actually. Double J is just too quick and smart early on. Uses a three-point stance, even. And then he struts. And he was just throwing Mongo off his game early. Really, really smart work here. Jared heals it up and bails whenever Mongo gets some momentum. We go to commercial, come back. And, yes, I am praising a Jeff Jarrett match. Because his psychology is good. You know, it really is. Yeah, makes sense. Mongo gets run head and shoulder first into the steel steps twice. Deborah actually gets some chokes in, which is really uncharacteristic because, you know, you never see her put hands on. And she put hands on her ex-husband. Well, her current husband. I don't remember if they got divorced here or not. So, yeah, so that was a little out of character. That was something. You know, that added to the match. Sleeper by Jarrett. You know, we get two arm drops. Mongo hulks up. Gets on a sleeper of his own. Deborah on the apron. Eddie comes running in out of nowhere. He has a U.S. title. He goes up top. He goes for a shot, but Mongo turns around. Jarrett gets clocked with the belt. Mongo makes the cover. We have a new U.S. champion. It's Steve Mongo McMichael. Wow. I did not remember Mongo winning the belt. This was a pretty big shock to me. But you know what? What a payoff. What a perfect payoff to this angle. You have Jeff Jarrett, who, you know, a former horseman and just a complete pain in the ass. You know, he has the man's wife, But you know what, Mongo, he gets his ultimate, he gets his revenge ultimately. Good stuff. And then Deborah tries to sweet talk Mongo, but he isn't falling for it. Good for you. That was good stuff. Gene with Alex Wright. And Alex comes out. You know, he obviously has a match tonight. He just comes out. Can you lose a shut up? And Gene, right after this, this is how Alex Wright comes out. Tells these losers to shut up. And then Gene just tells him, speak English. He fucking was. Which, you know, it's just Gene being an idiot and setting right up to now speak German. We get a bag dragon pun by Alex Wright. Yes, you know why they call him the dragon? Because I'm going to drag him from one end of Alabama to the other. get out of here. and then we got a commercial, we come back. Gene is with the guys from Dinner in a Movie. Now then, this was a show on TBS where they would show a movie. And then, you know, then they would have little bumpers of these hosts making food, cooking. And it would have something to do with the film. So that's what this was. And they had like two of the hosts there. So that's what that was. Yes, I remember all that stuff, so I'm old. Dancing Stevie Richards taking on Raven. So look at this. This is Raven's in-ring debut here in WCW, even though he is not a WCW contracted talent. He comes through the crowd, and then Tony says, Tony mentions that, yeah, you know, he's not a member of WCW. That's why he doesn't have an entrance. That's why he doesn't have music. But on the network, he had music. So, I gotta think that they piped it in, maybe? I don't know. It was a little weird. So, Raven, he comes sliding in the ring. He grabs the mic. He says, you know what? Hey, if I'm gonna take part in a WCW event, it's gonna be on my terms. No DQ. And Stevie agrees. So, it's a verbal binding contract. Raven takes right to Stevie, tosses him to the floor, follows that with a plancha. And then Tony... This is good stuff here, okay? Now that Tony tells us that Raven has had multiple ankle surgeries, you know, numerous, you know, 8 or 9, something like that, and that because of all these surgeries, that one of his feet is shorter than the other, and that's why he has like one of his ring boots is built up just a little bit, and they even show it on camera. So look at that. That's good stuff right there. It just gives you a little more insight into the guys in the ring, that type of thing. You know, it was good, and it didn't feel forced. You know, like nowadays, whenever Michael Cole has like a little tidbit, it almost feels like, you know, that he wrote that down and he's looking right at his notes. And goes, and you know, and you know, like if he were to say that line nowadays, it just wouldn't flow. You know, it would be, oh, yeah, by the way, this is a point that I'm going to make right here. It would just feel forced. But, yeah, it was good stuff. Backslide by Stevie. And I'm fairly sure that we get to see Stevie's taint. Raven gets back in control quickly, tosses him to the floor. And then he hits a couple cactus elbows. Get a drop toe hold to a chair. Then a bulldog across that chair. Raven takes head and takes the chair yet again, puts it in the corner. Stevie reverses an Irish whip, and that's his first little bit of offense. He hits a side slam that gets a near fall. We get an exchange of near falls after that. Even flow out of nowhere, Raven wins. Impressive win, I gotta say. Raven looked good here. Older guy in the front row, he keeps looking back at the hard camera. Quit looking at the fucking camera. Yes, you're on TV. Your bald spot is on TV. Watch the ring. We get a power plant commercial, and that makes me really sad. It really does. Video package for Ultimo Dragon, and he will now be known as Ultimo Dragon. Up until this point, he was the Ultimate Dragon. But, you know what? Hey, I call him Ultimo. TV title match. Alex Wright taking on Ultimo Dragon. Alex is... Okay, so Dusty says that. Alex Wright, he is multiple talented... Did I say that right? Did I say that right? Tony Schiavone's multiple talented. Back and forth to start until Dragon does the corner headstand. Then he does a shit ton of kicks to follow. Get a beautiful powerbomb by Wright and then a side slam. And Wright just wastes time. You know, he crushes him with his powerbomb, then dances afterwards. You know, hits you know, hits this nice side slam. Waste time. And Bobby is just going insane. Tell him to cover him. You know, why are you wasting time? You know, it's good stuff. That's what a heel announcer does. Get a gut wrench. They get another near fall. We go to commercial. We come back. We get top rope stomp and then dancing. And Brain is still on his case. He is just getting irate here. They go toe to toe, punch and chop exchange with Wright getting the best of it. He goes to go up top. Dragon cuts him off with a springboard drop kick. That knocks him to the floor. Dragon misses a dive to the floor. They brawl a little bit on the floor. Dragon tosses right into the guardrail. Then he hits an acai moonsault back in. He sets him up for a super rana, super hurricanrana. Whoops! Right, he fights his way out of it, but Dragon ends up, countering the superplex into a face first suplex. He tries a springboard back elbow. Wright gets his elbow up. That gets a 1-2-0 German suplex. That gets a 3. We have a new TV champion. Alex Wright wins. Wow, that's 2 title changes. That's pretty big. You know, this is a pretty big clash. So, yeah, this is good stuff here. I mean, last clash, and they were just going balls out with it. Cruiserweight title match. Let's see if we can go 3-for-3 here. Eddie Guerrero taking on champion Chris Jericho. And we have 8 come on, babies! But before Jericho even hits the ring. And, yeah, that was it. He wouldn't do any while in the ring, so... and it's sad that he still does that. You know, that's his idea of getting the crowd behind him. That's his idea, even now, in 2014, of Chris Jericho trying to get face heat is, come on, baby! Get out of here. Jericho with a couple arm drags and a dropkick early. And Eddie, he claims that he pulled his hair. And he goes over to referee Mark Curtis, and he kind of puts him, like, in a hip lock. You know, he shows him with the hip toss. And then he pulls him by the hair. It was so good. So good. Military president, a lift-up drop by Jericho, and Eddie immediately goes crawling on his knees over to the referee and hugs his legs. Oh, man. He then takes a powder. Jericho, he gets distracted by the referee and a Pearl Harbor job. Eddie takes control, tries to run up head scissors, but Jericho counters into a powerbomb that was awesome. Big swing, and somewhere Eddie got busted here. So, yeah, he got busted. I'm not sure where. Yeah, it was right above his eye. Because I don't even remember these guys even, like, throwing punches. So it might have been from a dropkick. He rolls out. Jericho goes for that springboard plancha that he does. But he catches his feet and he falls. And then Eddie points at him and laughs. You know, he points at him. It's fucking hilarious. Back in the ring, superplex. They get the 1-2 now. We get some great counters, ending with a German suplex by Jericho. Release German. We get some sloppy rolling pins, and eventually Jericho gets the 3. You know, with a pin out of nowhere. Chris Jericho retains. Yeah, it looked really sloppy there at the end. I think Jericho might have been knocked a little loopy when he fell. So, because you know his timing was just off. I mean, he was real slow there at the end. So yeah, he might have been knocked a little loopy there. Yeah, when he fell. excuse me, but Jericho does retain. Then Eddie attacks him after the bell. if Jericho didn't have a concussion already, he does after this brainbuster. And then a frog splash to follow. And Tony says, "Where is Eddie coming from?" You know, after this attack. Bobby says, "Well, the chopper up apparently. Good stuff." And Eddie is so great. I mean, he, in the course of a match, in the course of a few minutes, I mean, he goes from chicken shit heel to complete badass in the course of one match. Ah, he is, again, so good. I mean, if you guys are just familiar with Eddie's WWE work, that's awesome. That's really great stuff. But, you know, go back and check this stuff out, because this is the evolution of it. You know, because this is where he's just trying to stuff out, and it's so good. Now then, we go to an 8-man tag. Psychosis, Viano 4-5, and Silver King with Sonny Ono. Taking on Super Kello, Juventud Guerrero, Liz Mark Jr., and Hector Garza. And, you know, it's, judged by all the guys in the ring, it's a lucha match. Garza was really positioned to be a star here, I think. Because, you know, like when he gets in the ring, I mean, the announcers, they pay a little more attention to him, especially today. I mean, his spots are just that much bigger and better than everyone else's. And the crowd even seems to get behind him quite a bit. We get a super awesome super awesome. That was the worst word I could use right here. We get a great super kick. I want to say a super, super kick by Psychosis. Get our usual floor spot where everybody goes tumbling out. Get an air hoovy. It ends with the corkscrew plancha there by Garza. Super Killo and and Psychosis are the only guys left standing. Super Killo tries for a super Rana. Sonny Ono holds onto Psychosis's foot. So Killo goes tumbling to the mat. Guillotine leg drop. That gets the win for Psychosis, Viano 4 and 5, and Silver King. What a good job of interference there by Ono. It's so good. And it worked, and it was effective, and I liked it. Gene is with the Dinner and a Movie guys again. Dinner and a Movie douches, that's what I said there. And they're cooking macho nachos, yeah. Savage Garden Salad, Macho Gazpacho, and for DDP, WCW Cream Puffs. They're fucking heels. They're wearing NWO shirts. So everybody ends up joining the NWO. Yeah, even these dummies from Dinner and a Movie. But you know what, though? It worked. It really did. It worked for me. This is how you pull in mainstream celebrities and make it work inside the product, is something like this. Macho Man comes out, says, yeah, Hollywood isn't here. He's in Montreal making a Hollywood movie, yeah. And then he throws it to a clip of himself on Dinner and a Movie. NWO Kate comes out. Macho just takes off. there's a sparkler candles on there. And Gene tells the host to go jerk their own chicken. What? The camera lingers on the host as they talk about DDP casually, which brings him out. He demolishes the set. 1W gets a diamond cutter after he says, hey, you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses now, would you? Boom! Diamond cutter. Honestly, it wasn't bad. For a stupid filler spot with quote-unquote celebrities, it worked out pretty good. It worked for me. So, good stuff. Six and Conan taking on Flair and Hennig. Hennig and Conan, they start lots of counters. They actually work pretty well together. You know, I'm not a big fan of Conan, so that's saying something. Flair and Six in, crowd goes nuts. We got this is Flair country. Everywhere is Flair country, though. We get a punch and chop exchange. Flair knee drop, that gets two. And Rick is fired up tonight, and I'm wondering how many lines he did in the back with Hennig. Match, all four in, and it's a mess. Flair goes for figure four and Conan. Hennig tosses Six, and he inadvertently clips Flair's knee. Perfect plex. Hennig and Flair win. That was quick. You know, it's one of those things where it's supposed to plant the seeds of dissension. Not the first, not the last time that we would see that tonight. Good night for the Horseman. You know, Mongo won. He's a U.S. champion. Flair picks himself up a win. Gene comes in the ring, and he says to Kurt, hey, you know, I want answers. Hennig, no. Well, are you a Horseman? No. I want answers. No. That is just his response, is just no. So, you know, he plays coy so good here. It really is pretty fantastic. Buffer, he's out. He does the main event intros, and it's Macho Man and Scott Hall taking on Lex and DDP. The entire NWO, they accompany Macho and Scott Hall. And there's black and white balloons. They fall from the ceiling. And for the remainder of the show, we get to hear people popping balloons. Nash says that it's basically pre-bird rules in effect. So Macho and Hall, they're going to defend the tag team belts. So it's a tag team title match. Nash stays at ringside, and it doesn't take long for him to get involved. He clotheslines Lex on the floor, but Nanny gets ejected. But the damage has been done. Macho and Hall, they work over Lex for, you know, a little short period. But eventually makes a quick tag to DDP. He takes out both guys until Hall grabs his leg. And Macho with a blindside clothesline. Fallaway slam that gets two. And then they take turns working over DDP. And they focus on the ribs. You know, it's a long NWO control spot. Hot tag to Luger eventually, wrecked the Hall, but Savage makes a save. He then runs over, pokes DDP in the eye, that bastard. Hall pushes Lex into DDP, and a blind DDP, you know, again, just got poked in the eye. He's blind, somebody hits him, he turns around, bang, diamond cutter to Lex Luger. Hall makes the cover, Hall and Macho win, they retain the tag team belts. So, yeah, again, planting the seeds of dissension. You know what? This would have been effective if we wouldn't have just seen it. So, flyers drop from the ceiling. Happy first birthday, NWO. We go to commercial. We come back. Tony says they're running over, but oh well. NWO, they come back out led by Bischoff. He thanks Hall and Nash. Nash fucks up his line. You know, he says that, that it's been fun, shagging WCW rotten for the past year. That was supposed to be the line, but, yeah, he kind of messed it up a little bit. Stupid line anyway, so. and he said something to Scott Hall about how great he is and what a great worker he is and what a tremendous athlete and all that stuff. And Hall just says, oh gosh, I like you too. So it was actually pretty good. And then Eric says, okay, time for business. I got 2 points. We still haven't gotten our own show. That's point one. And then Macho, yeah, what's point two? Yeah. And Hogan is demanding new limos and a bigger jet. Okay. It just the delivery of it seemed like, oh, shit. You know, I had 1 point. But then the lights dim. Then that ominous music hits. And then we look up in the rafters, and then we see Sting, and he has a buzzard. And now the clip that I played you from the beginning, that's what they played right there. You know, this was the debut of the Sting music. And you got the kid doing the voiceover, which, you know, was straight up from The Crow. Then the lights go out completely. Lights go out completely. Come back on. Bird is perched on the corner, and I think he had, like, a piece of paper attached to his claw or whatever. So Bischoff kind of goes over. He pulls it out, looks at it. That's it. End of the clash. Good stuff. Really good stuff. Sting. Sting is the fucking man. That's all I gotta say. This dude, he does so much without saying a word. Again, he says nothing. You know, he's up there, and he has a buzzard, and he has this cool music. You know, if you're not familiar with his music, the 2K15 commercial. You know, the music that's played in that. The debut of it was here. Was at this clash. So, you know, it's so good. So good. And yeah, we're cooking. We're on the way to War Games, and I'm excited for that. And that's it. That's it for episode 52 of the NitroCast. Thank you all for listening, as always. Yeah, Why Choose Jump, that's Twitter. Go follow me there. Wrestling Buddies. New episodes should be up soon, because I will be seeing Mike this weekend. So we should be doing something with that. Lowdown, that gets posted every Wednesday. Showdown, that's our show on Thursdays. Hey, if you guys have questions, comments, things you want us to talk about on the shows, send them to me on Twitter. Yeah, we'll talk about them on the show. We'll give you a shout out. It's always nice to hear your name mentioned on a podcast. So go do that. But until next time I hear you, I'm Paul. This has been NitroCast, and this has been the greatest night in the history of podcasting. Peace.